What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. This podcast is meant to be really conversational and casual, just a couple of leaders here at Fathom talking about faith and life and talking about how we can grow in our faith where it's really going on Monday through Saturday and not just on Sunday. So tune in, listen to the conversation, and open your heart. We pray that this really helps.
Hello and welcome to the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. I am Christina Scott, here with lead pastor of Fathom Church, Kyle Nelson.
Dun, 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 dun. Thank you. I appreciate it. You gave a little more oomph that time.
You deserved it after
I called you podcast extraordinaire.
I don't even know what that means. This is like a very small portion of what I do.
I don't know. You've probably exceeded 100 episodes now, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
That's where extraordinaire comes. So if you have done something more than 100 times, you're an extraordinaire now, saith our pastor.
There you go. Well, today we are looking at two scriptures that get taken out of context. One that gets truncated and one that's just in a big book with a lot of heavy stuff. And so it's just kind of hard to get the context, or it's kind of scary to dig into the context. But once again, it's really beautiful and worth the work. Yeah. Today we're looking at this phrase out of Romans 8:28 that God works all things out for good.
Yeah. And that is scripture. That's, again, not all the scripture like we talked about last time. And then Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope."
Amen. It is the word of the Lord, and it is a good word.
Yeah.
But there is so much more to it when we really dig into to what this means.
To who he's talking to and to the context.
So let's start with the Romans 8:28 one, because this one ends up getting taken out of context, and it gets used in sometimes, I don't know, it gets truncated from the full context, which right. I think what gets kind of removed is it's for the good of those who love him and mm-hmm. are called according to his purpose. So, and I think we can kind of do this in kind of Christian culture and just kind of assume that everyone knows the rest of it.
Right.
But
right.
Not everybody does.
Not everybody does. And also, like, when we say this to our non-Christian friends and truncate it like that, it's super damaging.
For sure.
That's
And maybe we use it in like an encouraging way to like speak a word of prophecy and encouragement to somebody to build them up, to call them back. But this kind of goes back to previous episodes about God just wants you to be happy. And like, mm-hmm. And then really when someone's going through something really difficult, God works everything to good. Like it's just, it can really be damaging sometimes.
Right. And I think Even those like new to the faith, pretty much immediately, Satan goes on the attack. That's what happens to the babes in Christ. And to even say it to a new Christian in the midst of a really hard time, something really difficult, is so hard. It's really, we were trying to be encouraging, we're trying to be loving and give them this eternal perspective, but they don't have anything really to base that on yet. And if we just flippantly throw out a verse and say like, listen, God works all things out for good, you're going to be fine, they're like, I'm not fine, I'm drowning.
Yeah. And it's important that we include the, like, those who love him, that when someone's just not like in love with the Lord and is not living a life that honors him and is doing what they want in their own mind, like, God's just not going to come fix their world magically.
No.
Right? When they're running from him or doing evil, like mm-hmm. he's not just going to work everything out for their good, because he is just and he does desire, righteousness and holiness.
Right.
And us to come to faith and salvation and to love him and have a relationship with him.
I think the more that we grow and fall in love with him and the more that we see the truth in his word and the truth, like just his character, It's not about God coming in with a magic wand and working thing out, everything out for good. It's about us being able to see how we've drawn closer to Him in the midst of the hard stuff, how we have grown deeper faith by what He's taken us through. And it's not just about Him making everything okay, yeah. but about how we can, on the other side of something, look and say, God, I see how you did that.
Yeah.
I see how you did that, and I see where you are working. Even if I couldn't right in the middle of it, I can see that on the other side.
And what Paul says is, and we know this, that in all things, it may not be in this specific thing right now,
mm-hmm.
but it's in all things, the grand cosmos of time, like God's going to work it all out for the good of those who love Him. That means like it ends in victory, it ends in peace and healing and all that. And that does, like, some of those things, God doesn't work out like some like people we've lost. Like,
right.
It didn't feel like it worked out for my good.
No.
You know, and I was loving Him. And so we have to have this kind of more cosmic, large scale view and understanding of this, because what's really, if we zoom out just a little bit and see the context of the rest of this passage, my heading literally says present suffering and future glory.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great subheading.
It really is.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration by its own choice and by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God.
And if you want to read more about that, read Revelation 21.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes on, and there's just... the word frustration shows up, the word groaning shows up, that the Spirit groans on our behalf. And there's kind of like these three levels of groaning. One is like in our present sufferings, like what mm-hmm. we're struggling with, there's some groaning that's taking place. Paul says that the whole creation, there's a groaning that's right. taking place. There's a frustration that, I mean, we see it, natural disasters,
mm-hmm.
Evil in the world. Like, there's some things that even people who don't believe, but like, there's something that's just kind of crazy and not like perfect.
Something is not right.
It's not perfect. There's some frustration in this world. We feel that in our own experience. And right before he says, we know that God works everything, he says that the Spirit helps us and is mm-hmm. interceding for us. And the Spirit, even when we don't know what to pray in the midst of our suffering, the Spirit is groaning on our behalf, because we know this. We know. And he's interceding for the will of God, the ultimate, like what God wants. And so that we can be confident, not that everything's going to be working out, but the Spirit is working on our behalf to bring things to a hopeful and completion of God's will.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I am actually really glad that we paired these two together,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that they're both these like potential encouraging scriptures that somebody might like text out of context mm-hmm. or just drop in there. But Jeremiah 29:11, like when God is saying what he has for a future and what that he is going to prosper and not to harm, he is saying that literally right in the middle of super difficult times for Israel.
It's about to get ugly.
Yeah, it's
ugly.
And for some of these people, it's fully ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Some of these people, it is already ugly.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, I mean, how often does Israel fall to other powers? Israel falls to Babylon, and Babylon falls to Persia. So Israel is under Persian rule. I mean, repeatedly. I mean, Israel was already under Egyptian rule at one point. And then fast forward to the New Testament, we're talking Roman rule, right? So this message in Jeremiah is like speaks about the past, but is also speaking to their future. And is God is like, hey, guys, I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. And the really the context. Jeremiah is a priest that God called to really come and bring some pretty heavy judgment to people. And sometimes when we just like dive in and we read a word of judgment, we don't see the context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you see me disciplining my child and I'm kind of being a little, you know, stronger. Yeah, I'm being a little much. But like, he's a mean dad. I'm like, you don't have context.
Right.
For what they did that was extremely dangerous or detrimental. Mm-hmm. You don't understand the disobedience that took place in Israel's case for the past hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I just dive in at that moment, if you just look on me disciplining my child in that moment, you'll be like, whatever, you know, you're a terrible father or whatever, you're so mean. But if you were to zoom out and have ultimate truth lens, you would see that, let me move away from me. You would, if you do that with God, if you zoom out, you're going to see that God is the most patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like being you could ever fathom or imagine. They were so ridiculously disobedient when God did nothing but provide for them and lead them and want to bless them and make them a blessing to the nations and bring them into a land filled with milk and honey and be their God and they be his people. And yet disobedience after disobedience after disobedience, they were very stubborn. And
we're not talking about little disobedience.
No, we're talking about massive, like, evil stuff.
Right.
Evil stuff.
We're not talking
killing
about
babies,
yes.
Like, yes. In, like, the droves right. type of stuff.
Right. We're talking child sacrifice. We're talking to a different God, not, like, doing that, thinking that the one true God wants that, but like, oh no, let's look at these other
just
gods and see what else can do. Yes.
After all he's done.
About face yeah. away from. And the reality is so often, like he gave them all of these touchstones and all of these ways to remember him.
Yeah.
For him to be remembered. And they just didn't.
Yeah. For sure. And what we often don't realize when we see, you know, God's wrath come on a people or a group, we have to understand that God is measured in his discipline. God is measured in his judgment. It's not ultimate judgment.
Right.
It's not ultimate judgment. It's measured judgment. So even when he says, like verse 10, like right before this, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, like it's just going to be 70 years. But it's going to be 70 years. It's going to be an entire generation. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. I see the beginning from the end,
mm-hmm.
right? Like what we were just talking about with Romans 8.
Right.
It's like, I know. And he wants us to know that he has good plans for us, yes. But sometimes it's going to be hard.
Right.
And sometimes we have to reap what we sowed.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're going to have to deal with the consequences. Sometimes we got to face discipline and we're walking that out. Maybe I think about children who grew up in exile mm-hmm. because of what their parents and grandparents did.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking about, is that what a kindness it was for God to remove them from the evil so that, like verse 13 says, that verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you.
Yeah. He wasn't rejecting them forever. He was disciplining them like a good father and saying, we're going to try this again in the next generation.
Right.
We're going to give you another chance and you can seek and you can find and I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to like be hard towards you. I'm compassionate and gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm mm-hmm. abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness from generation to generation. And so this is God's character. And it's nice to kind of wrap a warm blanket and be like, you know, this is my favorite verse. You know, I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. It's so much more beautiful and intense and powerful when we see the full context here, that it was in the midst of really trying times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is rebuilding from, you know, your upbringing and previous generations and what happened. And it's like you can still hear this message in context and be like, God was with them as they walk through the mess, and he's going to be with me and bring those plans. And so I just want to seek him.
Right.
I just want to seek him with all my heart.
Yeah. I think about what hope there is. Like 70 years sounds like a really long time to me in my 40s. 70 years, like if I was hearing that message right now, sounds like an eternity, right? Like I'm not coming back. I'm not going to be on the other side of this. But what kindness of God to say, here is this hope that is in front of you, is that the next generation and the generation after that and the generation of, like, your great-great-grandkids are not going to live in this. This is not going to be your legacy, and this is not going to be my legacy. Like God saying, like, this is not my legacy, is to abandon you.
Yeah.
My legacy is that I am with you even in the exile.
As you read through the prophets, and I hope you do, there can be a little bit intimidating because there is a lot of judgment. It is, God sends prophets to call people back to covenant faithfulness with him. He calls them to do ridiculous things and say sometimes really hard things that people didn't want to hear, but they were faithful to share those messages. But he was calling them back to faithfulness and giving them words of hope in the midst of that. And so if you see 90% of it is kind of words of judgment, you have to kind of know the context about that. Why is there so much on the judgment right now? And then when you see that hope, let it be a reminder that this isn't the whole story.
Yeah.
This what I'm reading here is not the whole story. God has a hopeful end to this.
Yeah. Jesus is king and
context is queen.
Yeah. We're so glad that you're with us this week again, sticking with us in this Out of Context series. If you have questions or comments, or you just want to give us some feedback on what you're hearing and the conversations that you're having in your home or at work or with your friends around this podcast, we would love to hear from you. You can always email us at christina@fathom.church. Or you can text the keyword Fathom to 97,000 and follow the prompts to get connected with us. We love you guys. We're praying with you, praying for you, and just excited to have you back here next week. Nailed it.
Love you.